You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You know how white people don't be using a washcloth? And you know how they don't season their food, right? And you know white people, you know, say they don't take a shower every day. I know what some people who are watching or listening are saying right now. Not me. What about me? Not all white people. And that's why we're doing this series on frequently asked white questions. And that's also why I want to welcome you to the Griot Daily, where we are going to answer your question about not all white people. Have you ever, like, tweeted something, like a joke or, a comment or even mentioned the words white people in context and a white person raise their hands and say that doesn't include them, not all white people? And they wonder why we do that. And I want to answer that question for you today. But first, we're going to need some context, right? First, you're going to have to understand this phenomenon called the default thought, right? Like, have you ever wondered why, like, if you draw a circle with spikes or lines coming out of it and make it black, people will say, well, is that a wheel or is that, a hole? But if you make it yellow, people will understand automatically that it is a picture of the sun. Or if you, say a man was apprehended robbing a bank today, you'll probably think that a white man robbed a bank. But if they say a black man, then you understand that it's a black man. And that's because of the phenomenon known as a social default. And every society has this, right? Even though we might not consciously recognize it, we all believe in defaults, right? And one of the default things in America is the exclusion of the adjective white. So if I tell you that, a man came by my house today and he was a bill collector, you're going to picture in your mind, most people, a white man, even most black people, because most black people, because of the social default, will assume that if it was a black person, I would have described him as a black person. Or even like a Hispanic person would have probably described a person who looked like them as a Hispanic person, unless it was a white person, because we all ascribe to some extent or another to the social default that whiteness is the default, right? That's why for most of the history of, for instance, the music charts, there was a category, R&B, was called the Black Music Charts. Now, that's after the 1930s, because when they first created that chart, it was called race music. If you're talking about black activists, now, even before there were black activists like Martin Luther King, what they used to call black activists were race men. W.E.B. Du Bois was a race man, right? Like, they would call people who fought for equality race men. Because in America, part of our default socialization is that, like, race applies to everyone but white people. Whiteness is the default. Everything else needs a descriptor, an adjective, a pronoun, something to describe the thing that isn't white. Whiteness is just the normal thing. And notice I said normal, right? Because what default socialization does is it normalizes whiteness as rightness. For instance, when we talk about music, right? It's black music, and then there's all other kinds of music, right? There's the music that white people listen to, right? even though hip hop is the most purchased and most listened to form of music in the world, it's still considered black music, right? But if I refer to, for instance, Led Zeppelin or the Beatles as white music, it seems kind of strange because they're just playing music. They're just playing rock and roll, right? And, you know, a lot of times we don't even recognize that default thinking. And because of that, you lump all white people as beneficiaries of default socialization. For instance, if somebody asks why there's so much crime in Chicago, we kind of know they're talking about black people, even though white people are about 30% of Chicago, black people are about 30%. Like, it's split like three ways, right? Or here's a good one, right? Like, because this one always happens. Black on black crime. Like, have you ever heard anybody ask why we don't talk about white on white crime, right? Or we talk about soccer moms. We talk about NASCAR dads. We talk about the suburban vote. But when we talk about how black people cast their ballots, it's called the black vote, right? Like, when black people live in a neighborhood, it is a black neighborhood. When white people live in a neighborhood, it's usually distinguished by socioeconomic phenomenon, right? It is a rich neighborhood, a middle-class neighborhood. It is a poor neighborhood, but black neighborhoods are described by the color of the people who live in them or by how dangerous it is for black people to live there, right? So it's a dangerous neighborhood, a crime-ridden neighborhood. It's a euphemism for black. But we don't talk about white neighborhoods. We don't talk about white-owned businesses, right? Like, here's an example, right? Like, when I talk about shopping at a black-owned business, does anybody, if I tweet out right now, does anybody know a black-owned music store that I can buy a guitar from? I guarantee you there'll be somebody under that tweet saying, well, why does it have to be a black-owned? Like, why you got to make it about race? And if you notice, if you look at the data, most white people shop at white-owned stores. And it's not just because most white people own businesses. If you look at the data, black-owned businesses in a majority white city or a majority white neighborhood are still frequently, usually, by just black people. White people skip over it, right? And they don't think that there's a problem with that because of default socialization. Now, what does this have to do with not all white people? So, if I say white people don't use washcloths and you bring up not all white people, it's stupid because we know that nothing applies to all people, right? Like, when you say the black vote, we know black people, some black people don't vote. We know some black people vote Republican. We still call it the black vote. Eminem makes black music, right? But we know that it's not a black dude making black music, because we know that not all rappers are black. We know that not all black neighborhoods have exclusively black people. There's some white people there. There's some Hispanic people there. Everybody in this country understands that nothing is ever all, even when we say white people. If I said, well, you know, you got to put gas in your car, and somebody who I wasn't talking to said, not me, because not all cars use gas. Some cars are electric. I understand that. I understand that not all birds fly. Not all snakes are poisonous. When I say put gas in cars, I am talking about the average car. And when I say white people, I am talking about the average white person. But you can't understand that because you benefit from two things: the privilege of individuality and default socialization. And to combat that, the only thing you can do is, well, subscribe to this podcast, of course. Maybe tell a friend about it. Maybe download that Griot app, or maybe listen to a famous Black saying. And the one for today is, if you have a mind, why not mind your own business? If you like what you heard, please give us a 5-star review, download the Griot app, subscribe to the show, and share it with everyone you know. Please email all questions, suggestions, and compliments to podcast@thegriot.com.
I'm political scientist, author, and professor Dr. Christina Greer, and I'm host of The Blackest Questions on the Griot's Black Podcast Network. This person invented ranch dressing around 1950. Who are they?
I have no idea.
This all began as an exclusive Black History trivia party at my home in Harlem with family and friends. And they got so popular, it seemed only right to share the fun with our Griot listeners. Each week, we invite a familiar face on the podcast to play. What was the name of the person who was an enslaved chief cook for George Washington and later ran away to freedom? In 1868, this university was the first in the country to open a medical school that welcomed medical students of all races, genders, and social classes. What university was it?
No, this is why I like doing stuff with you, because I leave educated. I was not taught this in Alabama public schools.
Question number three, you ready?
Yes, let me try to redeem myself.
How did we go from Kwanzaa to like these obscure...
We got a sport, darling.
This is like the New York Times crossword from a Monday to a Saturday.
Right or wrong, because all we care about is the journey and having some fun while we do it.
I'm excited and also a little nervous.
Oh, listen, no need to be nervous. And as I tell all of my guests, this is an opportunity for us to educate ourselves, because Black history is American history. So we're just going to have some fun. Listen, some people get 0 out of 5. Some people get 5 out of 5. It doesn't matter. We're just going to be on a little intellectual journey together.
LaToya Cantrell?
That's right. Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
Hercules Posey.
Born in 1754, and he was a member of the Mount Vernon slave community, widely admired for his culinary skills.
I'm going to guess Afropunk.
Close. It's okay. Afro Nation. So last year, according to my research, it's Samuel Wilson, a.k.a. Falcon.
Wrong. Wrong. I am disputing this.
I'm very, 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 very 99.9999 sure that it is Representative John Lewis, who is also from the state of Alabama. That lets you know, Christina, we got some goodness come out of Alabama.
There is something in the water in Alabama, and you are absolutely correct.
The harder they come.
Close.
Oh, wait. The harder they fall?
That's right. I'm one of those people that just changes one word.
I mean, I know this song too well.
I just don't know nothing today.
It's
I'm going to pour myself a little water while you tell me the answer.
The answer is Seneca Village, which began in 1825 with the purchase of land by a trustee of the AME Zion Church.
You know why games like this make me nervous? I don't know if I know enough Black. Do I know enough? How Black am I? Oh, my Lord. We gonna find out in public.
So give us a follow, subscribe, and join us on The Blackest Questions.